East Timor voted overwhelmingly last August to end the country's rule by Indonesia. Armed groups backed by the Indonesian military then killed hundreds of independence supporters. More than 250,000 people fled to West Timor. After 8 months, about 100,000 refugees have yet to return home. They face deteriorating conditions, intimidation from the militias, and now there's flooding. Carolyn Robinson is one of the few reporters who has visited the camps.
The whole situation is unstable. The camps benefit almost no one except the militias. The camps that we saw were crowded together. There were hundreds of people milling around, nothing to do. The government of West Timor wants the camps to be gone because they're already a poor country, and they have this influx of 100,000 people that they have to try to support. They don't have any interest in keeping the camps going. The refugees themselves, of course, don't. The local population in West Timor is becoming more and more resentful, we were told, of the refugees, because the refugees at least have a certain amount of food coming in, a certain amount of health care. In some places close to the border where these floods occurred, there are more refugees than there are local population. We were not allowed access to walk around in the camps. We were escorted immediately to a meeting of militia leaders who were discussing their plans for the future. We sat down with Cancio Lopez de Carvalho, who was the head of the Mahidi militia, which means live or die for Indonesia. He told us that they are looking for peace and reconciliation with East Timor, that they miss East Timor very much, that they want to go back. We asked him if he would face trial if he went back. He said yes, but only for an international tribunal. He said they want an enclave within East Timor for themselves.
What about the refugees? What keeps them from returning home?
They told us that they don't get the proper information. We went to a transit center where refugees wait for a ship, generally. Sometimes they go by land, but it's safer by ship. They have to get a certain number in order to justify having the ship come to the transit center to take them back. We asked them why they waited so long. They had just finally gotten clear information from their families and that they were returning. The UN is countering that with its own public relations blitz. They're going around with videotapes of families in East Timor saying, look, here's your families, this is what they're saying. They're going around with messages from Xanana Gusmão and other members of the East Timorese leadership, inviting them to come back, telling them the conditions are good. The UN has arranged family reunions at the border.
What about the government? What's it doing to help the refugees return?
Well, they talk a lot, but what they're actually doing is unclear. They do provide food. They do provide some health care, but it's spotty. They have now set a deadline. Again, this is the second deadline of June 30th. In June 30th, they're supposed to decide, the refugees, whether they want to stay in West Timor or whether they want to return to East Timor.
What's in store for them if they do go home? Are they getting reports back from people who have returned?
Yes, they are. And there's economic uncertainty, of course. The East Timorese leadership is doing its best to provide for that. But right now, there's something like 80% unemployment in East Timor. Some people in West Timor told us that they don't want to go back because they don't know what's waiting for them. But we did speak with a farmer who's going back. He says everything has been wiped out, but he's ready to start again.
Carolyn Robinson, an independent journalist, traveled to West Timor with a group organized by the East Timor Action Network, which lobbies for human rights in East Timor.